too.
So he's both a Billy Goat and a Billy the Kid. Get it? Because he's a Billy Goat named Billy, and kid goats like him are called kids. Well, I'm so good.
Steve warned me you might do something like this.
Aw, don't take it so hard, buddy. I'm just messing with you. I do it with everyone around here. It just means you're part of the family. You can just ask the others.
That's not what's bothering me. His jokes are just so cheesy.
Huh?
Nothing.
Okay. Say, Billy Goat.
Yeah?
Since you're like Billy the Kid, like the famous outlaw, does that mean you're bad to the bone?
My point exactly.
I feel like I'm missing something.
Don't worry about it, Wally. Shouldn't we be getting back to the message? I do still can help you with it, right?
Sure thing. And I promise that was my last goat, Billy, and outlaw joke.
Aw, I was actually kind of starting to like him.
Ha! I can make believers. Anyway, let's get back down to business. As in, the message. Today we're going to tell a story. It all happened during the ministry of Jesus. And it's one of the miracles recorded in all four of the Gospels. It's known as the feeding of the 5,000.
See, one day Jesus went to the other side of a place called the Sea of Galilee. He wasn't alone, though. A huge crowd kept following him because they had seen him all of the amazing stuff he was doing with the sick.
The time when it all happened, it was almost time for the Passover. That's a pretty big festival for the Jews. So Jesus went up a mountain with his disciples, and he saw all the people who had come out to see him. He turned to Philip and said, "Where are we able to eat?"
The Bible says Jesus was testing his disciples when he had said that, because he already knew what he was going to do. But Philip said, 6 months' wages could not buy enough bread for each of them to get a little. Another disciple named Andrew spoke up next. He said, "There is a boy here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 fish, but what are they among so many people?"
But Jesus wasn't fazed. Nope. He just said, "Make the people sit down." And so 5,000 people sat down right there in the grass.
5,000 folks is a lot of people, huh? Well, there was probably even more than that. 5,000 was just counting all the guys there, not all the women and children. Anyway, Jesus took the loaves and gave thanks for them. And then he passed them out to everybody that was sitting down.
Jesus did the same thing with the 2 fish. And you know what? There was a lot to go around, as much as everybody wanted. When everyone was full and couldn't eat another bite, Jesus asked his disciples to pick up everything that was left. So they did that. And I bet you can see where this is going, can't you? There's so much leftovers, they filled up 12 baskets full. When the people realized they had seen a miracle, I mean, that much food with just 5 pieces of bread and 2 little fish, they began to say, "This is indeed the prophet who has come into the world."
Jesus kind of escaped after that. He could tell they were about to take him by force to make him king. So he ran up the mountain by himself.
And that's the story. The end.
I'm sure lots of you have heard it before. It's a pretty famous miracle. Like, it's in all 4 of the Gospels. It's a pretty cool miracle, too. Jesus made a lot of something out of so little.
That could
be a message all in itself, but it's not the one we're going to talk about. Nah, it's about the little boy.
That's right. Because there might not have been a miracle without that kid. I mean, not Billy the Goat, the kid. You know him. But the one in the story. Yeah.
Remember, the only food the disciples could find was the little lunch the boy had with him. I bet his mom packed it for him. Without his food, Jesus wouldn't have been able to make the meal for the 5,000 folks.
Plus, who knows how many more.
Exactly. The Gospels never talk much about that little boy, but it's pretty obvious he agreed to give his lunch to Jesus. Jesus never would have taken a lunch away from anyone without permission, after all. But since Jesus did get to use those pieces of bread and the 2 fish, we can bet the little boy trusted him and was nice enough to share what he had. He didn't have to, but he did.
And look at what happened because of it. Jesus was able to feed all kinds of people, thousands and thousands of them. He was able to do a miracle, one of the most famous ones of all, because of that little boy's generosity. Jesus was able to reach a lot of people that day because that little boy agreed to help out. But that's the way God is. He gives anyone and everyone some pretty awesome stuff. Heck, he does it every day. That includes kids like Billy and kids like you. Yeah, you. He can use you and what you have, whether it's your talent for singing or drawing, or just your willingness to help out someone in need. And through you, He can create beautiful, amazing miracles and help out all sorts of other people.
It don't matter how old or how little you are. God doesn't care about all that. He just cares about what's in your heart. If you want to help him and share what you have with him and others, well, say so. He'll make you a blessing. So don't be afraid to step up and let God use you. Offer your heart to him and let him guide you through life. With Jesus, you can do anything, and he'll help you make a real difference in the life of somebody else too. And that's pretty darn cool, isn't it? How's that, Wally?
Sounded good to me. Nice job, Billy.
Thanks.
That's about all the time we have. Till next time, guys and gals, take care of yourselves. Look to God.
And let him use you to make more miracles, today and now, because they still happen, you know.
God bless you all.
I don't know who's in more pain, Joseph Paul's arm for staying up that long, or me for squatting. I haven't squatted like that since basketball season.
Thank you. morning, if you have your Bible with you, let's turn to John's Gospel, chapter 12. A couple of weeks ago, I asked Troy if he would find out all the scripture that would be used for this Sunday in the Lent exercise. And I got it from Barbara and from Troy, and there was scripture from Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, talking about the new covenant. The only time in the Old Testament where the New Testament is really mentioned in the Bible, in Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, where God said, I'll put a new heart in the people, and you make a new covenant, or a New Testament, we call it New Testament. And then there was a scripture from Psalm 51, where David said, God created in me a new heart. And there was a scripture that Troy and Carolyn used this morning in Matthew chapter 7 and 6 with the Lord's Prayer. And there was John 12, 20 through 33. And after reading John 12, 20 through 33, that scripture hit me because of a particular reason. Tully, that we're talking about a message to little boys. It's a message about two little boys. One little boy was 3-year-old. And he's close to me, my grandson. Now let me read the scripture before I get into what I want to talk about. In John 12, 20, the first verse is, and there were certain Greeks among them that came up to worship at the feast. The same came therefore to Philip, which was of Bethsaida of Galilee, desiring him, saying, Sir, we would see Jesus. Philip come and telleth Andrew, and again Andrew and Philip tell Jesus. And Jesus answered them, saying, and his answer is what is so peculiar, and say, go tell those Greeks to come on in, I'll see them now. You know, like you would think. Jesus had a different way of answering this question. He said, the hour has come that the Son of Man should be glorified. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. If any man serve me, let him follow me. And where I am, there shall also be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. Now is my soul troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. Father, glorify thy name. Then came there a voice from heaven, saying, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. The people, therefore, that stood by and heard it said, it thundered. Others said, an angel spoke to him. Jesus said, this voice came not because of me, but for your sakes. Now is the judgment of this world. Now shall the prince of the world be cast out. And if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me. This he said, signifying what death he would die. The subject this morning is anyone looking for Jesus? Now, what put me on this subject was this. Laura and Chad have been taking their boys to Bethlehem for a few months. Silas is 3 years old. And they take Silas to Sunday school and teach him, you know, they teach about Jesus, show, you know, how in a three-year-old class with all the pictures and the drawings and the things they have. But Silas is very inquisitive, and he's on top of everything, and he's very observant. And you cannot say in front of him, unless you mean it, I'm going to go outside and start the lawnmower. Now, if you say that in front of him, you might as well go do it, because he'll not quit till you go out. Or you cannot say, I'm going to go to the basement and get something. And if he hears you say that, and you don't go, he'll worry you till you go. Or if you're going to go eat something, you better make sure you're going to go do it. It's just like, and you can't speak in riddles to 3 and 4 year olds. Everything they say to Silas, he takes it as that's the gospel. That's what we're going to do, and we're going to do it now. So, Laura had him in Sunday school a few weeks back. After Sunday school, they were walking through the hallway to the auditorium. Big wide door. He sees all the people sitting there in the auditorium. He notices one man. He says to Laura, he said, Mama, is that Jesus? She said, no, that's not Jesus. That's Jim Samples. That's not Jesus. And okay, you know, he just took it and went on. Weeks passed, and about 2-3 weeks ago, on a Saturday night, they were going to bed. And she said, now, Silas, we're going to bed, so we got to get up in the morning, go to Sunday school, and we're going to learn more about Jesus and do some things in Sunday school. And he said, I don't want to go. I don't want to go. Why you don't want to go? He said, I ain't never seen Jesus down there. And I said, you know, I ought to tell Frank Hicks. That's the pastor. My grandson said he ain't never seen Jesus down here. You know? But a three-year-old is still looking for Jesus, and he's still looking. And I was talking to Laura about that yesterday, and she said he's still looking for Jesus. So a three-year-old is looking for Jesus, and then there's a four-year-old. In 2003, a boy named Colton Bullpop had an appendix to a rupture. You may have seen it and heard it on TV. His dad is a pastor in Nebraska. Oh, this four-year-old, the mommy thought he just had a stomach virus. He kept complaining with a tummy hurt. But really what was happening, his appendix had erupted. It burst, and they take him to the hospital. 17 days he's in the hospital. They do surgery on him to fix him, you know, and he was at the point of death. But here's the kicker to this story. While he was in surgery, he visited heaven. Four-year-old. And the pastor, you know, he's 11 year old today. They happened to be driving by the hospital one day, and the mother asked him, said, son, you remember being there? He said, yeah, I remember being there. I said, that was when I visited Jesus. She said, I sat on his lap. She said, you did? Yeah. She said, I could look down and see the doctors doing surgery, doing work on me. I could see Dad in this little room of praying, and I could see you on the phone in the waiting room. And sitting, and also I saw my sister. And the mother said, are you talking about Casey? No, I'm talking about the one that died in your tummy. She'd had a miscarriage 2 years before he was born. And the mother said, we've never mentioned that to him. Where he got that, I do not know. But anyway, he said, and my sister didn't have a name. And said she would always just all time hugging me and hugging me and being nice to me. said, and guess what? I saw another man. He said, I was sitting there one day by the side of the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit was shooting power down into earth. And says, and this gentleman walked over to me and said, are you so-and-so's son? And he said, yes. And he said, well, I'm his grandfather. I died 30 years before you were born. And he said, and he had big wings on his back. And Matt Lowry was doing this interview, and he said, well, what does heaven look like? He said, well, there's a lot of color there, and a lot of people and angels. And he says, there was something different about the people. He said, there's no old people there. He said, they don't wear glasses in heaven. He said, they're all about 20 and 30 years old. I said, boy, that's good. Hey, man, that's good, ain't it? That's good news. And this word got out about this little feller's talking about all these things, and he got some book company contacted him, and he got a book offer, and they wrote a book. It sold 1.5 million copies. The title of it, This Heaven is Real. So if you go home today and get on your computer and you Google a four-year-old who visited heaven, he'll give you all the detail about little Colton and what he said and what he saw. And that's it in a nutshell. This little four-year-old said he sat in Jesus' lap. Now, a lot of people said he's 11-year-old now, and he's been in church all his life, and he's probably heard a lot of that stuff in Sunday school. But some of the things that the mom and dad just could not understand how he knew, because they hadn't talked to him about it. And I'm not saying I don't believe it or whatever. It sounds real to me, so if I had the book, I'd read it. I would keep it. But knowing how Silas is, and knowing this four-year, and about how he takes things so serious, and this four-year-old, and after what's transpired this past week in our country, the writer of Hebrews says, puts it this way, you know, in the second chapter of Hebrews, when he's talking about the creation, how God created the animals and the plants and plant life and everything, and he put man over it. And then he says in second chapter of Hebrews, he says, and yet man is not completely over everything yet. We're not over. We don't have dominion over everything yet. There's a lot of broken things in this country, broken governments, and there's a lot of broken covenants, a lot of broken promises, a lot of broken relationships, a lot of broken people. And mankind is not over disease yet. There's all types of disease that we don't know anything about. And things come into our life and we don't understand it. This past winter, when I saw the doctor last time, just on a regular checkup, the doctor said, have you had a flu shot? And I said, no, but I used to get them all the time. But I said, I haven't had one in 2 or 3 years. He said, you ought to take one. He said, now I'm not saying it's going to help you from getting sick, but it says they put a lot of new stuff in it this year. And if you do get the flu, it'll keep you from getting completely down. So I took the flu shot, and I got sick twice this winter. And I'm just now getting over my life spell, and I thought I'd never get over it. And there's so many... antibiotics now, it don't even touch things that you get wrong with it. You know, I don't know what it is, but anyhow, you just wear it out and eventually get better. But there's so many things that we don't understand. Man is not completely over all that yet. And we're looking and searching for answers and for things. And we have the Mayan prophecy about December 21st, 2012, the world's going to end. But nobody's looking for Jesus. Everybody's looking for the something, but not Jesus. We don't look for Jesus anymore. And the writer of Hebrews makes it pretty clear. He says in that second chapter in verse 9, but we see Christ. The church sees Christ. That's our hope. Christ is our hope. He is our only hope. There's a lot of bad things in the world today, but Christ is our hope. But where we see Jesus. And in this scripture that I've read today, Gentiles, these Grecians, coming to Jesus. When Jesus was born, men came from the east to see him. When he died, men came from the west, the Greeks. From the east and the west, men have come to see Jesus. And looking out in the, if you watch TV and you watch the news and you watch sport news, and this past week it's been a big day for sports, big week. NFL, NCAA, Peyton Manning, Tim Tebow. I mean, just all news every day about some individual. Everybody's, the NFL, you know what they're looking for? A franchise quarterback to win the Super Bowl. They don't look for Jesus. If they're looking for Jesus, they'd all take Tebow. They don't look for Jesus. They're looking for somebody to help them win the Super Bowl. Gentiles, the Greek, came and wanted to see Jesus, and Jesus says, rather than telling them to come on in, he's telling them how he's going to die. And this is how he's going to die. He says, my hour's come. This is what I came for. I was born in this world for this particular hour. Now it's come. Jesus could not receive Greeks at this time like he does today because he hadn't died on the cross. Now it's, my hour has come for me to go to the cross. And he says, and I am troubled. And he says, and Father, should I pray and ask the Father to save me from this hour? No. No, for this is why I came, to give my, to pay for your sins, to pay the sin debt. And not only was his, is it his hour, it is also our hour. Because he says, now judgment has come. And the prince is going to be cast out, which is the devil. And he says, when I am lifted up from the earth, I'll draw all men unto me. He was lifted up on a cross at Calvary 2,000 years ago for our sins. And that's why he came now, not only the Greeks, Gentiles, nation after nation can come to Jesus and accept Jesus as their Savior. He says, my hour has come. But who's looking for Jesus? There's not many people looking for Jesus. There's not many looking. All I can say is, in closing today, you'd be amazed how kids get excited about Jesus. Especially 3, 4, and 5-year-olds. They get excited about Jesus. Jesus is real to them. And that's why Jesus said, suffer not little children to come to me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Heaven is full of little children. And we'll all see them. I'd say everybody in this building today has some in heaven. You may never see Jesus, literally, on this earth, but you can see him after life. He's in heaven, and he's coming back for this church. He's coming back for us. And he wants us to be ready to meet him when he comes. And is anyone looking for Jesus? A lot of them won't see him until then, and it's going to be too late. Now's the time to not only look for Jesus, but accept him at his word. He was lifted up. And he'll accept you when you come and give your life to him in repentance and faith. God, we thank you again today for your message. Thank you for your word. God, we thank you for the church who's come out today. Lord, I pray for the congregation as we go our separate ways this morning. And Lord, as we travel in the roads and the highways, God, we know that you can watch and you watch care and you take care of us. And God, we praise you. And oh Lord, we're looking for Jesus to come and take us to be with him. And Father, I pray there will be many who will be ready to come and ready to go when you do come. And God, we've asked you, bless again as we leave. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us stand, please. See Christ, that great message in that song. And one day we will see him.